First Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 12 and 13. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13, the Bible says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." And the verse that says that you read and that you've discussed in your group, they're all talking about the same thing. Okay? Notice how you're able to do a Bible study by simply looking at the Word of God and having cross-references and discussing it with fellow Christians. You're able to have a Bible study. But it's good and it's better when it is guided, because there's a direction as opposed to some just random topic that everybody wants to talk about. One person in the Bible study group wants to talk about a topic. Another person wants to talk about another topic. Oftentimes that leads to discussions and arguments. But when there's a direction, there's a topic that can be guided and can be directed, a Bible study is one of the tools that God has given us to grow and mature as a Christian life. You don't have to be a pastor. Were any of you ordained today that were able to do what you just did? No, you see. I encourage you to do that on your own. Invite family members and co-workers, old, former co-workers, loved ones. And that's how you win them to Christ. That's one of the ways to win them. And it also helps you to grow spiritually as you walk with Christ. Our text says, we beseech you, brethren, to know them when it comes to that God-given, I hate the word authority, because that's not really I don't think that is the best word to describe the position of a pastor. But look at the characteristics of the man of God that is called to pastor a church. The commandment to the church is, number one, to know them. To know your pastor. Know his needs, know his personality, know his weaknesses, know his sorrows and his pain. And I know that is talking about a pastor, because the Bible says, "Know them which labor among you." In my third month of pastoring this church, you know what one of my struggles is finding time to just sit down and study and just read and wait for God to speak to me, that I may be able to bring the bread of life to you Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday night after Wednesday night. But it is the calling of every pastor to not just study, but the Bible uses the word labor. And I'm beginning to understand what that word means, labor. It's not just merely studying, like 2 Timothy 2:15 says, but I realized it is an arduous work to sit down and wait for God to speak to you, and only to find out that that's not the message that God wants you to speak the following Sunday, and you cram the night before because God wants you to speak and talk about another topic. No wonder it's called labor. And then the verse says, "And our over you in the Lord." In Acts chapter 20, it talks about being an overseer. But notice how the phrase doesn't say over you, it says over you in the Lord. Now it's important to distinguish, because the role of the pastor is not rulership nor lordship, but rather the Bible says admonish. Okay, one of the things that that discourages a new Christian and Christians that have remained faithful for so many years is when a pastor becomes over domineering, trying to control every aspect of your life. But the Bible is clear that the authority of the pastor is pertaining to the spiritual matters of the Christian, not material matters or standards. His job is to admonish in the Lord. It's not to rule. It's not to bend your arm and put you in a wrist lock that you may give your tithe and your offering so that we can build a greater building. It's not to put pressure towards a mission conference or to give to a building fund. That's not the job of the pastor. When a pastor does that, he begins to become more of a ruler of Christians. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 25 to 26, that is the characteristic of the Gentiles. This want to overrule, this want to be in a position of authority and control people's lives is characteristic of the Gentile world. The Bible says that true pastor is an overseer. He keeps an oversight of the spirituality of the church members. But he is not the ruler. He does not rule. He's not a lord. Amen? The Bible says, admonish you. And then in verse 13 he says, to esteem them very highly in love. But that commandment says, to esteem them very highly in love, not because of their personality, but the Bible says in verse 13, for their work's sake. Oftentimes, you come across a pastor that is loved because of his personality. Some pastors are hated because of their personality. But whatever personality your pastor has, don't judge him by his personality. Judge him by the work that God has called him to do. It's hard to preach. That's why I broke it into three different groups. Because this text is... I don't like preaching about myself. That's why I let Sister Fran, Uncle Dave, and Brother Romel speak to you through those verses. So it's not personality, but for the work's sake. Go to 1 Timothy 5:17. I need to hurry up. 1 Timothy 5:17. The Bible says, let the elders that rule well. Understand there's that word rule, but you know, understand that's not in the context of the secular world. It doesn't mean to rule as in an authoritative figure. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of what? Double honor. And then it describes to you, who is it that rule well? And it's worthy of double honor. Bible says, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. I believe the highest calling on earth, the highest career, if you can call it a career, is to be a preacher. Ecclesiastes 1:1 says, look at the Ecclesiastes 1:1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, notice this, king in Jerusalem. But the author of Ecclesiastes, understanding that he's a king of Jerusalem, he's a son of David, he chooses to call himself first the preacher. There is no greater calling. And I am honored to be called into that calling than to be a preacher. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, look at this. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. You know what the Bible says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Notice the commandment, the responsibility of the preacher, the pastor, is to feed the flock of God which is among you. to feed the flock of God. We read in Jeremiah how the pastor ought to feed the flock of God with knowledge. I need to constantly study. I need to set aside time to always study and always dissect the Word of God. That way, when I come every Sunday, I have something to feed you with. But notice the Bible says, taking the oversight thereof. The oversight thereof. Think about that word, oversight. And yes, it signifies you're in a higher position, but not in a higher position because you're higher in authority, but you're in a higher position just so you could see everything that goes on. That's what an oversight means. Not by constraint, not because I'm being forced to, not because somebody warned me, if you don't agree to become the pastor of Chula Vista Baptist Church, we're going to shoot you in the head. It's not by constraint, but the Bible says, willingly, not for filthy lucre. That's covetousness. You understand that there are some people that want the position of a pastor for financial reasons? Some people want to become pastors because they see the lives of the televangelists and how rich they are, and that's why they want to become a pastor. The Bible says, not for filthy lucre. Not out of covetousness. I tell you, the measure of a pastor is the willingness to sacrifice his salary. My pastor in L.A., he pastored the church for almost 20 years now. He worked full-time. Very seldom did he collect from the church a salary. And I learned under his ministry that he wasn't doing it because he was getting paid. He wasn't getting paid. And he still did it. And not for filthy lucre, but the Bible says, but of a ready mind. Verse 3 says, look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. A pastor is not your lord, is not your boss, is not your ruler. He is an overseer. But being, what does that say? And samples to the flock. You pray for me that I will live a life that you can look at like an open book and be able to say that that's my pastor, that I want to be like, I want to live like, I want to not look like, but amen? Let's go to their text to close in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. And here's where I ask for your prayers. The Bible says, take heed therefore. Well, verse 27 first. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Another responsibility of a pastor is to preach the whole counsel of God. So be patient with me when I spend Sundays and some services without talking about salvation. The reason for that is salvation is just one aspect of this book. I have a responsibility to preach to you the whole counsel of God. Who God is, the deity of God, the deity of Christ, the second coming, the millennial kingdom. It's not always about salvation. It's not always Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And I truly believe that a pastor that just preaches the same message about salvation Sunday after Sunday is robbing the church. Is robbing the church of the knowledge, of the riches that is found in this book. The Bible says, take heed therefore unto yourselves. Notice how When I'm called to preach, or when I was called to preach, the first thing I need to watch out for is myself. I need to watch out for myself. Because temptations will come. And they did. They started coming, started getting attacks, not just from the outside, but from within. And then to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you, see that word again? Overseers. Overseers. That's our job, an overseer. You know how a church can become successful, how to be in the ministry, how the ministry works? It's not the pastor doing things. It's you, church members, doing the things to make this church work. And my job is to oversee that the work that is being done is glorifying to God. And then to feed the church of God which he had purchased with his own blood. I heard of a preacher that came into church one time holding a mannequin. He dressed up the mannequin with a wedding gown, a pretty expensively looking wedding gown, put all kinds of rings, golden rings on the fingers of the mannequin, put a, what do you call it, ladies, on the head? The veil on her head, nice and really expensive looking. And as he parks into the parking lot of the car, he opens the door. The mannequin was sitting right there in front, on the front passenger seat. He opens the door of the front passenger seat and grabs the mannequin by the neck. And instead of carrying her out, drags her out of the car by the neck, and the whole church members were looking in from the outside in the parking lot, seeing this whole thing. And the pastor puts the mannequin that's wearing a nice wedding gown, puts her on a headlock, and drags her into the entrance of the church with the legs dangling and getting the nice white dress getting dirty in the parking lot. And then he then grabs that mannequin and grabs her by the feet and drags her with the veil coming off and the back of her nice wedding gown being dragged into the congregation. And the congregation could not believe what they were seeing. The pastor was doing that. He then grabs that mannequin and sits that mannequin right in front, not even positioning her body in the erect way, but just kind of slumps her over, kind of just throws her onto the front of the congregation, with her face all mangled up, her nice wedding dress all dirty and ripped. And then he says to his congregation, "That is the bride of Christ, the church. You are all upset that your pastor treated that mannequin in the way that he did. But you and I, as church members, sometimes that's how we treat the bride of Christ, the church of the living God." And that was his message. He didn't open his Bible. He just did that whole thing, sat that mannequin down, and called for an altar call. Do you love the church of God? Are you a part of it? Amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for this local church. Thank you for your words. Thank you for the responsibility, the opportunity the calling to pastor this church. I pray that you help me to understand my role, and you help our church, Lord God, to understand and work together with me, that the things that we do in this church may not bring glory to any single one of us, but we may bring glory to you only. Help us, Lord God, to love and take care of this church, the church that you died for and shed your blood for. Help us as Bible believers to love the church that you have placed us into. If you need to come, the altar is open. That he led you to a church, he brought you to a church, he has given you an opportunity to serve in a church. Such as this. Would you thank him tonight? To your feet and sing just one hymn, just one stanza of that song. 497. Brother Mac, would you close us in prayer, Brother Mac?